John 17 and 24. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And then I ask the question on the end of verse 20 and in verse 24, where will they dwell? In verse 24, he stated, Father, I will that they also, which thou hast given me, will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I did that for those of you that are listening to the tape, so you'll have some sort of semblance as to what we talked about just before the ending of that verse and the ones few that followed. Now, the next thing has to do with the study of God's Word. The importance of God's Word cannot be overemphasized. The importance of it being taught correctly in a church cannot be overemphasized. Your studying at home cannot be overemphasized. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is the only absolute truth that we have. I had a fellow one time said, there are no absolutes, and I disagree. God's Word is an absolute. It is the absolute truth. And everything else in this world may fade, and everything else may be proven incorrect, and every theory that man's ever had about anything may eventually be proven to be incorrect. And your opinions and my opinions and our ideas and our thoughts and our premises, they're not absolutes. So if there is anything that someone ought to do to be considered worthy by the choice of Christ to dwell where he dwells, to walk with him where he walks, in what we've been talking about for the past several weeks, the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. It ought to be God's Word. Now, the church at Corinth had gone crazy. And this has been a source of controversy between many different religious groups that still believe the gift of tongues is in the church and different aspects of it. The women in the church had gone crazy at Corinth. And they had gone crazy in standing up and speaking tongues. But the problem was, a lot of them were faking it. So when Paul got the report from Chloe, in plain Arkansas terms, he said, she has told me so much that I partly believe it. In other words, some of it must be true. Well, the women in that church were seeing another woman stand up and speak a bunch of gibberish, and they were saying, well, she's better than I am. And so they were standing up and speaking gibberish. Paul had to do something. Let me put that another way. The Holy Spirit had to do something. And the Holy Spirit led Paul to write a discourse to them to try and get the women to stop doing that. Now, I'm not saying some of the men may not have been faking it, but it was mostly the women. And they were just jabbering, standing up, speaking in tongues, saying, I had this vision from the Lord did this, and there was no interpreter, there was nothing, and the church at Corinth had gone wild. When a woman has a husband who daily studies the Word of God, she has one who is wise in the Scriptures. And I make no bones about it. Fellas, I don't know any other way to put it. You ought to know more about the Scriptures than your wife. That's your responsibility. It's your God-given responsibility. And you ought to be more knowledgeable to the extent that if your wife wants to know something about the Scriptures, she feels that she can come to you and have confidence that you know more than she does. And you have a greater responsibility to God to understand the Scriptures than a woman. Now, for you that don't have a husband, you certainly have an obligation to know the Scriptures. And so do the wives of those husbands. But we all have an obligation. But the men, the married men, have more of a responsibility to understand the Word of God than perhaps any other category. That was one of the reasons that these women had gone wild in the church at Corinth. When a woman has a husband who daily studies the Word of God, she has one who is wise in the Scriptures.
You ought to thank God if you've got a husband that is, or somebody that studies and tries to be. If you love your wife, then you will become wise in the Scriptures. Why? So that you can be able to obey your heavenly husband's instructions. I'm talking about making yourself ready. As the figurative illustration of a wife who hath made herself ready. I know you're male, but you have responsibility like you're his earthbound wife as a member of God's church. Why? So that you can be able to obey your heavenly Father's instruction and in so doing fulfill the role his heavenly wife fulfilled in making herself ready. Isn't that supposed to be a part of a saved man's role for his heavenly husband? So I won't make any bones about it. And I won't slice it any other way except the Bible says. Giles, you ought to understand more than your wife. And you ought to understand more than Geraldine. You ought to understand more than Burma. You ought to understand more than your wife. Every one of you. Marty, you ought to understand more. You ought to understand more than Donna. Every one of you men. And Charlie, even though you and Thelma aren't married, you ought to understand more than Thelma. And you ought to study, and you ought to try to. Because if you don't, then you're not fulfilling your role as a husband. And your wife ought to feel that she can come to you and ask you some question. Because that's what one of the things that was causing this problem in the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33 through 37. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. There was mass confusion in that church. There were a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons was this. Ladies, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings. If you think I ever do it deliberately, you're wrong. But men are men and women are women. And I confess, I don't know much about women, but God does. And women are more catty than men. Now, men gossip and men do all that stuff, and if you throw a rock back at us, we live in a glass house, I'll admit it. But women are catty. And when one of them has something, they get jealous. Well, men do the same thing, but women have a special attitude toward this that men really don't understand. And so what was happening, one woman would stand up and she would speak in tongues, and she might be doing it legitimately, I suppose. But the other women got jealous, and they started speaking in a bunch of gibberish. And pretty soon, a bunch of the women were causing mass confusion in the churches. Now, fellas, we're supposed to be calm and serene. If I tried to tell you I'm a good husband, I don't claim to be a good husband. But if I love my wife, I'm supposed to be a stabilizing factor in her life. And if she goes off on a tangent, I'm supposed to be able to help her by the wisdom I have from the Scriptures. That's my responsibility, my obligation, and it's also yours. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So the question I ask, would women have been speaking in tongues in worship if their husbands were word wise? If they knew the word? If they knew the Old Testament? If they knew the teachings of Paul? If they knew what Paul had taught while they were there? If they knew what Timothy had taught? If they knew what Titus had taught? Would they have allowed this to go on? It's a good question. At least I think it is. Now I want you to notice what he says in the next verse. I read you verse 33. Let's take a look at verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches. That does not mean that a woman has to sit there and have her mouth shut and can't talk or say anything in business meeting or anything else. That is not what that means. Because Paul was writing to a specific problem in the church. And he addressed it quite frequently in this letter. There was a confusion, and women were speaking in tongues, and the whole church was going crazy. So in verse 34, he says, let your women keep silent in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. He wasn't saying they can't come in and sit and talk to one another and talk to, and he wasn't saying that at all. When he talks about keeping silent in the churches, he has two things in mind. Speaking in these tongues, which was the confusion, and standing up and preaching. A woman is not permitted to speak in the form or guise of teaching. Now, she can teach young children, but you should never have a woman teaching a man's class. This has nothing to do with male chauvinism. God said so. And by cracky, that's the way it's supposed to be. And a woman is not supposed to stand up and speak with authority, and furthermore, even if you didn't have any other reason, the makeup of men won't take it. And that's not chauvinistic. It's something that is involved in obeying the Word of God. He says, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If a husband understands this book and conducts himself the way this book states, that woman is going to love him and care for him, because God's model husband a woman likes, because the husband loves her and respects her and treats her as an equal, and out of the respect she has for him, she's going to love him. This isn't talking about some chauvinistic pig that's in a New Testament church that treats his wife like a rattlesnake. I knew one preacher in this area used to spank his wife. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not right. That's not the kind of man this is talking about. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. The first church had male teachers. They had male preachers. And some of these women were standing right up in the middle of the service and causing confusion by either speaking out in tongues or saying they had a word from the Lord. This is the way Paul stopped it. When he said, let your women keep silent, and he said, ask their husbands at home, and he said, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. He wasn't saying women are a bunch of inferior dogs that don't have any sense and never should voice their opinion at all. I thank God for the opinions of women, and I'm not being patronizing to you. And I thank God that some of the women do speak up in our business meeting, because they keep us men out of a lot of trouble in a lot of areas that we have no expertise in, and we would make fools of ourselves. If some of the ladies had not brought up some of the things in business meeting, I would have made a fool of myself as pastor. I do that anyway most of the time. But a couple of times I've been saved by what women said. So this isn't talking about business meetings. But I sure would like to have an organ. Ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it to you only? He said, did you originate all this, and are you the only ones that have heard it? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, I want you to notice very carefully what this says next. Because John Mills, this is your responsibility. Giles, it's your responsibility. Bob, it's yours. Johnny, it's yours. There's no exceptions. It's my responsibility. And Doc, if you had a wife, it'd be your responsibility. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. They had the Old Testament that those men in the church at Corinth were supposed to be studying and explaining to their wives. That's your job. That's what God gave you as a job. It's my job too. But also the things that Paul was writing to them, they were to be spiritual husbands, and they were to admit and acknowledge that the writings that they were receiving were the commandments of the Lord. And those husbands in that church, if you'd have been speaking in tongues, Sister George, it would have been Tud's responsibility when he got you home to say, now, honey, look, you cut that out if you're putting on. And he'd have been, I know Tud, he'd have been nice to you. But Tud did know the scriptures. Well, Sister George, I'll be honest with you. You were smarter than he was in the scriptures, I think. But he made up for it in a lot of other ways. And he was somebody who was a man. and he was a good spiritual man. And if you'd have started talking in tongues, he'd have shut you down right quick, wouldn't he? Now, that's the kind of husband that you're supposed to be in a church. If you love your wife, you want to be the kind of man that God meant for you to be. You fellas here study the Word. I got no problem. I'm not jumping on you. I just want to let you know that's what God says. And in a church where the men are studying the Word, they'll love their wives and they'll care for their wives. They'll want the best thing for their wives. And they'll be interested in their wives doing what God wants. And they'll help them to do those things. But if they don't know the Word of God, if they don't study the Word of God, then how can they help their wives to do what they're supposed to do in life if they can't explain what the wife's role is? If a husband doesn't fulfill his role for his heavenly husband in this life, then he should not expect to hold the position of wife in heaven, for he did not make himself ready for it. Now look, I realize, you know, the Constitution says all men are created equal. That would be a nice idea. But the truth of the matter is, some men have a higher IQ than others. Some men have a capacity for understanding more of the Word of God. But I guarantee you this, if you make an effort, and your wife knows you make an effort to understand the Word of God, she's not going to be concerned that you're not a mental giant or a genius in the book, because she's going to respect you because you make the effort. So don't think you have to be a Bible scholar to be a good husband. But if you do study the Scriptures and you are interested in the Scripture, and I tell you, as a husband, if you'll come to church with your wife, listen to the Word, want to understand the Word, that'll impress your wife more than anything else. I tell you what really impresses a wife that's a good church member. I tell you what excites her. The fact that you love the same Lord that she loves, and you think enough of him to be where he is with you. That means a lot to a wife. So it's our responsibility to be faithful. God didn't expect you to be a mental giant in the Scriptures. But if you're faithful in God's church, that goes a long way to making your wife respect you and appreciate you. Then he should, if a husband doesn't fulfill his role for his heavenly husband in this life, then he should not expect to hold the position of wife in heaven, for he did not make himself ready for it. Neither should the bossy church wife, who just can't wait to tell her husband and the rest of the men in the church how the cat ate the cabbage, expect to be selected for this heavenly position. Well, this tape's going out to some other places. Considering I've been in over 500 missionary Baptist churches, they won't be able to figure out which one it was. But in one church I went to, and I say this reverently, they had some real hellcats in it. And they were the head of the family. And you talk about bossy, and you talk about hard to deal with, and you talk about out of control, and you talk about a church that I've never seen the like of before in my life, with some of the greatest maliciousness I've ever seen, and pure hatred and venom spewing out verbally. They were wives who wouldn't fulfill the role that God called them to, even when their husbands were trying to do what was right. And in the church at Corinth, those women had gone wild. The Spirit of our heavenly husband constantly tries to set us further apart from the ways of the world and tries to daily cleanse us by convicting of the need for constant confession of sin. He does this by instructing men in how they should fulfill their role, and in women in how they should do the same. When a man and woman are united in an earthly bond of the flesh, if they fulfill their roles as the Bible teaches, then their marriage will be one of joy. So in case you think I'm preaching at you, I'd at least express this opinion. Every one of you men sitting here, I'm proud of you. I'm not preaching this at you. Every one of you wives sitting here, I'm proud to be your pastor And I'm not preaching this to you. This is just something that came up as I was going through this. And so this really isn't to chew you out. If anything, it's to compliment you and to tell you how thankful I am for the men in this church that are trying to be the kind of husbands their wives should have. And I don't know one woman in this church that has a bad attitude toward her husband or toward this church. And I think you women are to be commended, every single one of you. There are no exceptions. So please don't get the idea that I'm trying to preach this to you. I'm not. It's just something that's in the scripture, and this is one of those rare times when I got no problem with any of you. When we are united with our perfect heavenly husband, he has, will, and shall fulfill his role perfectly. Now, for those of you listening to this on the tape, just in case you think I'm wishy-washy and patronizing, for those of you listening on the tape, believe it or not, this church is like that. And if you're ever up here in this area and you think I'm lying to you, you come by and visit us. What'll probably happen, you'll all start speaking in tongues. But come on by anyway. Now, he wants each church member to make the effort to fulfill theirs. If they do it, then it will produce a spiritual joy in their union with Christ now and the most joy possible in their future relationship in the millennium and heaven ages. Live close to him now and thereby live close to him later. So the real purpose of everything I've been doing in this series on His Wife Hath Made Herself Ready, talking about how a man is really endears himself to a woman to the extent that when that wife loves him, she tries to make herself as pretty and attractive to him as she can. We, as the earthbound wife of Christ, His local church, each one of us, should try to make ourselves as attractive in our lifestyle, in our mannerisms, in our conversation of life as we can toward Christ. If we each concentrate on ourselves and don't concentrate on whether others are making themselves ready, and we'll pull the beam out of our own eye and concentrate on what we're doing, it'll go a long way toward helping us pull the speck out of their eye. Church membership, there's great joy in it if you concentrate on yourself and you try to change yourself into what the Lord wants you to be. If you were to say to me, Brother McElmurray, you've got a long way to go, I would say, Amen. But I would also honestly say to you, why do you concentrate on me? I'm concentrating on it. Concentrate on yourself. Look at your own life. And as each day passes, try to draw closer to Christ through His Word, understanding more of it. Be further set apart from the world. And then you won't be upset by what others are or aren't doing, or by their mannerisms and characterizations. Just concentrate on your own self. And then all these other things that bother you can't bother you because you're too busy trying to concentrate on living close to Him now yourself. And all these other things won't amount to a hill of beans. Why not enjoy a little bit of heaven with Him now by trying to stay in fellowship with Him? And look forward to the day when you are in the closest position of fellowship that exists in heaven, when you are in the New Jerusalem. I know all of this sounds great, but it is not easy to live for Christ on this earth. It's very difficult. And the Lord never said it wasn't. He always said it was difficult. And if I do not teach the scriptures He left to tell us how to attain this goal, what good would this be? So let's take a look at how He told Timothy and all church members to reach it. Well, it's now 5 minutes to eight, and I would like to end up in your favor. I was going to go on and talk about what the Lord meant for us to do. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. But I'll just let you see it. And that's what he told us to do. Now, Bob, Giles, Tom, John, Kenneth, Johnny, and even though you two aren't married, as long as you're burning up her vegetables, I'll throw you in, Charlie, and I'll throw you in, Brother Shipley. Every one of you sitting here that has a wife, and you too, partner, you're a new church member, but you got the same responsibility. And Marty, so have you. Now, when you fellows come up with me at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged for what kind of husbands we were. And the more we learn about the Word of God and apply it to our lives, the better husbands we'll be, and the more we'll be able to help our wives in the interpretation of Scripture. So you ladies get off light tonight. I really haven't said anything to preach to you, but I'm trying to tell you that there are practical things that we need to do. And Giles, when I complimented you about being interested in the Word of God, you're a man that loves the Word of God. You want to understand it. Well, every husband ought to. And then when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, believe me, that's a practical thing. And believe me, that's part of making yourself ready. And then you wives, show respect towards your husband. And I'm always telling the husbands, you need to tell your wife that you love her. Well, some of you wives need to tell your husbands how much you appreciate them being in church and being interested in the Lord and the Bible. Because a husband needs encouragement too. I laugh and joke about Imogene all the time. And that's just part of my mannerisms. Maybe I'll do better in passage of time. But that woman has always been in subjection to me. She's always been in submission to me. And I kid about her giving me lectures and everything. But they're good for me. And it's just life. And it's part of a wife's responsibility. So, believe it or not, you're going to get out at 2 minutes too late. And all I've done tonight is just talk about the relationship of having made herself ready for you husbands. But don't worry, ladies. Your day will come. Maybe I'll tell a story about this poor preacher that wanted an organ all his life. Maybe eventually one day I'll get an organ, but probably never will. So, as Kay comes, as Johnny comes, we'll have one stanza, and that's all we'll have. And I don't really expect anybody to come. You say, well, you shouldn't do that for an invitation. Well, I've tried everything else. Maybe some of you are so rebellious you'll come because of what I said. So we're only going to have one stanza.